Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning, he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So, what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they may could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. Here is Jesus with the adulteress. What is adultery? The New Catechism of the Catholic Church defines like this. Adultery refers to marital infidelity, when two partners, of whom at least one is married to another party, have sexual relations, even transient ones, they commit adultery. Christ condemns even adultery of mere desire. The sixth commandment in the New Testament forbid adultery absolutely. The prophets denounce the gravity of adultery. They see it as an image of the sin of idolatry. Yes, the sin of adultery, it is always grave from the beginning in all the Old Testament and New Testament. He continues, adultery is an injustice. He who commits adultery fails in his commitment. Remember, when you say your matrimonial covenant, he does injury to the sign of the covenant with which the marriage bond is, transgresses the rights of the other spouse, and undermines the institution of marriage by breaking the contract on which it is based. He compromises the good of human generation and the welfare of children who need their parents' stable union. Adultery, divorce, polygamy, and free union are grave offenses against the dignity of marriage. You see, sexuality, it is a great gift from God to humanity. It is good for the spouses. It is good for the children. It is good for the society. And it is good for the family, eternal family of God. This is the purpose. Unfortunately, you see, nowadays we see it is banalized, desecrated, especially by the industry of pornography. It is a creativity of the devil. We have to know how to defend ourselves from that. Don't you see, it is something easy, which gives you some pleasures. No. Behind that screen, there is a devil disguised himself. You have to know it. How to avoid and keep your purity. Because this sexuality is only between man and one, married to give mutually and totally oneself. Yes, they brought, you see, because in the Old Testament it was grave sin and the punishment was death by stoning. That is why these Pharisees and scribes brought this woman caught in adultery and asked Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Imagine yourself, you see, this miserable woman in front of all this, you see, waiting for her death by stoning. How human heart is, we see, very. Yes. It was not only stoning the woman, but accusing, trying to find a way how to get away also with this Jesus. The dilemma was, into which they sought to put Jesus was this. If he said that the woman ought to be stoned to death, two things followed. First, he would lose the name he had gained for love and for mercy, and never again would be called the friend of sinners. Second, he would come into collision with Roman law, for the Jews had no power to pass or carry out the death sentence on anyone. If he said that the woman should be pardoned, it could immediately be said that he was teaching men to break the law of Moses, and that he was condoning and even encouraging people to commit adultery. That was the trap in which the scribes and Pharisees sought to entrap Jesus. But he turned their attack in such a way that he recoiled against themselves. However that may be, the scribes and the Pharisees continued to insist on an answer. And they got it. Jesus said, in effect, all right, stone him. But let that man that is without sin be the first to cast a stone. It may well be that the word for without sin, anamartetos in Greek, means not only without sin, but even without a sinful desire. Who can be free from this sin? Jesus was saying, yes, you may stone her, but only if you never wanted to do this same thing yourself. There was silence. And then slowly the accusers drifted away one by one. So Jesus and the woman were left alone. St. Augustine, meditating on these words, says this beautiful expression. There remained a great misery, miseria, and a great pity, misericordia. Jesus said to the woman, has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Jesus said, I am not for the moment going to pass judgment on you either. Go and make a new start and don't sin anymore. How Jesus is, you see, compassionate with us. Yes, sin is sin, especially the sin of adultery. It is a grave sin. And only Jesus can charge that, because no one can be free, at least in desire, from that. But Jesus knows how to judge and when to judge. So always he gives us the second chance. The second chance. Never loses his second chance. We have to confess. We have to repent. It was a first principle of Jesus that only the man who himself is without fault has the right to express judgment on the fault of others. Judge not, said Jesus, that you be not judged. Don't judge, not to be judged. He said that the man who attempted to judge his brother or sister was like a man with a plaque in his own eye, trying to take a speck of dust out of someone else's eye. One of the commonest faults in life is that so many of us demand standards from others that we never even try to meet ourselves. And so many of us condemn faults in others, which are glaringly obvious in our own lives. The qualification for judging is not knowledge. We all possess that. It is achievement in goodness. None of us is perfect there. The very factors of the human situation mean that only God has the right to judge, for the simple reason that no man is good enough to judge any other. It was also a first principle with Jesus that our first emotion towards anyone who has made a mistake should be pity. It has been said that the duty of the doctor is sometimes to heal, often to afford relief, and always to bring consolation. So sin is weakness. Sin is suffering. Let's try to have the mind of Jesus. This pity, this compassion. When we are confronted with someone who has made a mistake, our first feeling ought to be not, I will have nothing more to do with someone who could act like that, but what can I do to help? What can I do to undo the consequence of this mistake? Quite simply, we must always extend to others the same compassionate pity we would wish to be extended to ourselves if we were involved in a like situation. Yes, this is our daily, you see, confrontation. Always we offend others and we are offended by others. Knowingly, unknowingly, willing and unwilling, this is our life. So our God shows us, you see, have pity, have mercy, forgive one another. Be merciful as I, your Father, is merciful. This is our Father. Let's imitate him. Let's be his children. Forgive one another. And you see, we receive forgiveness. So we can live peacefully. We can, you see, go ahead smoothly, yes? Yeah, you see now, today, all this picture of these saints, why it is covered. It tells us something, yes, you see? Only Jesus on the cross is not uncovered. This tells us, you see, this coming Holy Week tells us something. Where I am, in front of the suffering Jesus, what does look like my life? He is waiting. Easter is not, you see, just to celebrate the historical factors. It is about me and you. It is about our resurrection, to renew our baptismal commitment. This is Lent. So let's enter in this logic of, you see, meditation these days. Why they are covered? They are, you see, may God give us, each one of us, this light, this, you see, time, precious time, to see inside, interior, our life, and adjust it. And truly, truly, you see, make a fruitful confession and rise with this Jesus, with joy and the new way of life and relationship with him. God bless you.